Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy on June 1st of 2021. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here a little earlier than normal to talk to you about the anime and other stuff we've been watching. Although it's really just anime right now. All right. So, do you want to get into it, or do you have any sort of snappy opening?
No, let's just get into it.
Okay, good, because I didn't have any snappy opening either. So, we begin with My Hero Academia, episode 92. So, we have the... So, as we were established, we're having the people in Class A go up against the people in Class B, although, you know, dividing into individual teams. And Class A gets Shinzo, you know, that character who hadn't shown up for two seasons, but now is apparently really important. And they go up against each other, and Class A wins. Yay!
Which wasn't very surprising, but, yeah.
I guess I could go over all the specifics, but to be honest, I've forgotten most of them, and it doesn't really matter too much.
Yeah.
It's just them, you know, going up against it. I don't know, I'm kind of almost a little confused about what, I'm speaking especially with the benefit of hindsight, but I'm not even really sure what the point of a lot of this thing is. Because, I mean, is like the point to, like, introduce us to, like, more of the Class B characters? Because I don't know if we really needed a whole arc for that.
Uh-huh.
A whole tournament arc for it. But, so yeah, not really much to say about this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not really much to say. Yeah.
Sorry. So, we've got episode 27 of Dr. Stone. So, Taiju and Yuzuriha are able to communicate with Senku via the cell phone. And now Senku's going to try to put into his plan to try to fool people into thinking that... I can't remember that one singer purse... and was still around and everything is great and all that stuff. So first they try, you know, like that big plan that was treated all seriously because we're going to be lying to people. we could be sent to, God would send us to hell for this. But we'll do it to save the people. Anyway, so they are trying to do that. Then it turns out, however, that the first person that they try to actually... convinced with this, turns out to actually be a super fan of that singer. So so she says, I want to make sure you're real. How many, and you know, starts asking questions and stuff.
Yeah.
But doesn't, but she ends up realizing it's an imposter. But fortunately for our heroes, they still manage to win her over because they have the recording of her. So now she's on their side. Making me wonder what exactly and what the point of that whole thing with trying to, you know, fool everyone was, treating it so gravely, if it's just going to be, I kind of forgotten at this point.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they tried again after this, but I could be misremembering. Unless... I don't know. Was the whole thing supposed to be like some big meta joke? Like, you know, oh, well, you thought it was going to be all serious, but now we're just going to abandon it after two episodes. I don't know, but yeah. Anyway, I thought the episode was pretty funny.
I like the part where Senku had to try to calculate the exact number of sales he had, mm-hmm. and all that. That was pretty good. I'm still really not sure what they're trying to accomplish by one, either capturing or convincing people it doesn't seem like that's the way to win a war, but I could be mistaken.
Well, true. Going one by one doesn't work, but when you have some people on the other side, that will definitely benefit you than having none.
How many people are on the other team, though?
I can't remember. I don't know if they said they made a point of saying that he had a lot of people following him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he, unfroze them because he had the revival fluid.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was the part I was talking about when Senku's trying to figure all that out. That was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Where,
okay. So we got that. Then we move on to Food Wars episode 52.
Yeah, so now they have to try to pass these exams, and pretty much they got to do exactly what Central tells them to do. And yeah, it really felt like there wasn't all that much advancement of the plot in this episode, except for the fact that now we know they have to go on trains and try to pass these exams. And if they don't, of course, the penalty is always that they get kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was kind of a little dull because it's just, well, now we have to go through and pass this test. Oh no, but because we don't like Central, our group has been given really bad ingredients and stuff to sabotage us, rather than just the examiner saying, well, I don't think it's good enough, you don't pass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're going to be cheating anyway, just do the simple way. It's especially weird because, you know, like the examiner is like, ha ha ha, you won't be able to make anything good with that food and you won't pass. And then they manage to do it. And she's like, well, you passed, rather than just saying, well, screw that, you don't pass.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to say? Are you going to say, oh, that's not fair? But they were already cheating against you.
Yeah.
I do remember this one thing when someone noted, and this was kind of funny. The person who is in charge of the Totsuki finances must be going insane because, like, look at this. So they're having these tests. So to do it, they get everyone on train and take them to these different places, a different place for each test. That's instead of, you know, just having them all at the school and saving a ton of money.
Yeah, really.
Like, think of how much money it has to cost to send all of them by train, by doing all this. You could just have it done at the school for way cheaper.
Yeah, really.
Where does this school get all its money? It expels people so frequently, it can't be a tuition.
Yeah.
So yeah. So we've got that. And then after that, we are on to Black Clover episode. Oh, no, wait. We actually watched The Promised Neverland, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, dang. I didn't write down what episode it was. Let me look it up. Well, anyway, because neither of us have really been watching it much this season, and you, like, didn't watch a bunch of the first season, I'll just say it quick. So they're trying to so Norman wants, so to catch up anyone who stopped in the first season, the kids all managed to escape, and then it turns out that the demons are ruling the world, but that there was a human world and a demon world, and then and basically they made some sort of agreement that the humans would stay on their side and the demons would stay on their side, except there were still human, except the demons still need to eat humans, so they raise humans and stuff so that they can, you know, eat them and stuff. And so Norman is like, I'm going to destroy all the demons. And Emma's like, no, wait, there might be a way to make it so they don't have to eat humans. Let us do this. And then let us try to figure it out. And then Norman's like, nah, I'm just going to do this anyway. So they basically attack this demon village. And then I don't think this was in the manga. They changed a bunch of stuff. But then he starts feeling emotionally conflicted because he finds out that one of the demon's children's name is Emma. So he's like, oh no, that name. So in this case, I guess if the demon's name was Martha, he wouldn't have reacted at all. And that's Promised Neverland.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have any comments.
I don't really have any comments on it. I wasn't really into this episode, but it doesn't seem to have gotten any more interesting that I would care about it. So,
yeah, that's so that was the episode. We did kind of get dropped into it. And yeah, even if you did like the series, I don't know if you would be liking being dropped right in to this. I don't even really know how much has been different. I know some stuff is, but there's some stuff I recognize from the manga and other stuff I don't, but it's been so long since I read the thing that, well, anyway, that was, maybe we'll have more to say in future episodes, maybe not, but that was episode 20 of The Promised Neverland. So
yep.
Then we come to Black Clover episode 152. So remember how they had that, I can't even remember what it was called, like the recruitment tournament or the exam or whatever, that thing they had back in episodes 4 and 5 or something. Yeah, there's that happening again, and the characters, and then there's a lot of flashbacks.
Yeah, it was almost Eclipso, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then no one ends up joining the Black Bulls anyway, which is especially kind of weird when you think about it, because they made a big point about how they managed to actually, so the different squads, when they do good stuff, they can get like these, star things as prizes, and you know, then there's a part where they tally up which one got the most, and after basically getting dead last over and over and over, this year, the Black Bulls actually managed to take second. And everyone's like, what? And I was just thinking, you know, you would think that after that, there might be more people who would be interested in joining it. But maybe some people didn't get the memo.
Yep.
I mean, it's a medieval time period. News probably travels slower, although they've got a ton of magic stuff, so... But I guess the commoners don't, so maybe they don't know. I don't know. The episode was mostly a waste of time. I was a little interested in how it kind of did, remind you, oh, yeah, wow, you look back at those early episodes, the characters have kind of come a long way, and the series has come a long way. It just made me think about my thoughts when I was reading the series, and it was, I was reading it very early. It was on chapter 10 or something when I checked it out. So it made me think, wow, there's so much more stuff we've learned about since then. But you know, that's the sort of thing you don't need to spend an episode to get that sort of feeling to someone.
Yeah.
And it would not even have that effect if it was someone who hasn't really been following it since the beginning.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
All right, so that was Black Clover episode 152, and then we're on to Baka and Test episode 8.
Okay, so remember how I said this might be a parody of Evangelion? Well, I didn't realize exactly how much of it was going to be a parody of Evangelion, and the answer was almost the whole episode. So, yeah, lots of Evangelion references in this episode, and really not much plot. I mean, we get a lot of gratuitous fan service, which isn't too surprising, but this episode really won't make sense to you unless you've seen Evangelion. So that was kind of the main thing I took away from this episode. So yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. I thought it was pretty good. Fan service was a little too much, but aside from that, I liked it.
Now, okay, I'm going to sound really stupid here because I have seen Evangelion. I watched this episode and I was confused. What exactly was the Evangelion reference in this? Because I didn't really see much. Well, was this like a reference to an episode and I forgot about it? Because a bunch of like the individual angel attacks kind of blur together for me.
Yeah, it was mainly that one episode where the angel takes control of the dogma or whatever it was called and infiltrates that. And then Ritsuko somehow is able to stop it just in time before it, you know.
I'm vaguely remembering that, but that must have been one of the ones I don't remember. I think I've forgotten a lot of the second half of the series because there was a part where I wanted to rewatch it and I was watching with my brother, and then we kind of got halfway through and then just kind of stopped, so I didn't really rewatch the rest of it. And then I also watched the first two movies, but they cover the first half of the series. So again, nothing from the second half.
Yeah. The references to Evangelion were fairly obvious. So if you missed them, then you probably just forgot about the series. So that's probably it.
I kind of vaguely remember the episode. That was, but yeah, it's been so long since I watched it that I guess I missed that. This episode, well, I didn't really care for the fan service and And I'm not remembering anyone's name, so let me just check on that quick. What's her name? The girl who has like the sort of stalker crush on Shimada.
Oh, I forget what her name is.
I just find her kind of annoying and don't really care much for her. But other than those, I thought this was a pretty good episode, and I think it might have actually been my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And that was with me not noticing any of the Evangelion references.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just like the fact that you mentioned there wasn't much plot. I don't know. I thought this actually did have a bit of a plot in that, like, everything kind of revolved around it, and there was sort of a like danger and people had to work together to solve it. And I don't know, I was just worried that at the end of all of this, after doing all that and helping everyone, there would have just got in a case of but Yoshi's points went down to zero, so he gets in trouble, dun 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 dun. But we didn't get that, actually. Well, I mean, it did, it dropped down, but that meant he got to take the Remiel thing to get the points back. So, yeah, so that was nice to see. I don't know. On the whole, I thought this was a pretty good episode.
Yeah.
Some of the characters we got introduced to, though, some of the newer, like the people who kind of like run the Academy. Now, do we see them again, or were they just here as sort of a pseudo Evangelion reference?
You know, I can't be sure, so we'll find out, I guess.
Okay. All right. So we've gotten that. Yeah, that was Baka Test episode 8. And yeah, I guess, and we'll move on to the next one. So Kaguya-sama, episode 8. So the first one is just Kaguya meets Shirogane's younger sister. And yeah, that's basically that third of the episode. Huh. Then the second and third are about a test, which was kind of funny considering all the stuff with Baka and test and the points. So we get that. It's all about, you know, studying techniques and stuff. And if both Shirogane and Kaguya are basically like saying, oh, well, I'm not stressing and I don't feel the need to do last minute studying, even though they totally are. Except because they keep saying that Chika takes them seriously and doesn't study, so her grades keep slipping. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Kaguya decides to try to force, help Ishigami, helps him study in basically the same way as, remember that girl with the hair stand from JoJo when she was forcing Koichi to study?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically that, except without the stands. and because of that, he manages to not completely fail. And he's like, oh, thanks for your help. I managed to improve. Except she kind of freaks out because she still did pretty poorly. Mm-hmm. And yes, that was Kaguya-sama.
Yeah, my favorite part was the narrator. Mm-hmm. How the narrator kept going, he's lying or she's lying. You know, that was pretty funny.
And then when it's for Chika, it just goes, she's not lying. and then of course, because everything always just ends with Kaguya wins, Shirogane wins. And like you said, they usually don't make much sense, but I did like the part where the narrator says that. And then he says it as a question, as if he's not sure himself.
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty good.
I liked it more when they just like give goofy subversions on it, because like some of the earlier ones, I'm thinking, okay, I can see how that works. But after this, there's much less of that sort of thing. And I think it works better when they just come up with random stuff to put there. Okay. So that was Kaguya-sama. I did think it was interesting. One thing that I thought was kind of funny was I don't know if you saw it because it went through kind of fast, but when it's showing how everyone ranked, there's a part for where a character for where it's like showing the names and like the numbers and stuff. And then for one, it just says Kashiwagi's boyfriend. Mm. I don't think we've actually learned his name yet. So I just thought that was a little amusing, but that's a kind of almost a blink and you'll miss it thing. Mm-hmm. So that was Kaguya-sama Love is War. It just them talking about all the test stuff was just kind of funny considering the other show we're watching.
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right, so that's all of the shows we've got. Unless, is there one I'm forgetting? Did we actually watch Naruto Shippuden this week?
Nope.
Okay, all right. So that's everything, then. All right, time for the top three listings, which Well, at least now it's not as simple. Oh, it's at least for me the top three each time. Now there's four that I'm choosing between each week.
So I'll go ahead. My third place pick was Food Wars. Second place was Kaguya-sama. And first place was Baka and Test.
Okay, for me, well, for me, actually, this week was actually fairly simple. I'm just talking about in general. It seems like there's four shows that, well, no, My Hero Academia did decent a few weeks ago. Well, anyway, for this week, the three was pretty simple for me. The only question was the order. And the order is third place, Dr. Stone. Second place, Kaguya-sama. First place, Baka and Test. Despite my misgivings on some parts, the rest of the episode was good enough to make up for it. And this is without me even noticing the references.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so that's our shows. Now, let's see. Is there any news of anything that we haven't mentioned? Let's see.
No, but since I'm kind of busy, it would be okay if we finish early.
Okay. So. Okay. Fair enough. So I guess we just still haven't found out what will be the Promised Neverland replacement.
Is right.
Maybe we'll get the second season of Megalobox. That would be my guess.
Oh, there's a second season to it.
Yeah, it's airing in Japan. It's midway through. I haven't really seen what people thought of it. I saw some people say, like, look at the first episode or two and thought it was pretty good. But I did see, I looked a little at what some people were saying midway through the season. It seems some people didn't really like it as much. But it did seem like it was one of those cases where, well, I don't like it right now, but it might change things as it goes on. But look, I'm going by, like, me skimming and not even really reading some reaction thing. So I have no idea what the general thoughts on it are. But that would be my guess for the Promised Neverland replacement.
Okay.
So we'll see if it manages to work out a second season when the first season seemed pretty complete, honestly.
Yeah, I know. I was like, that's so kind of ended completely. It felt like that would have been fine if that was the end, you know?
Yeah. Is it going
kind of like getting a second season of Samurai Champloo whenever that, you know, like mm-hmm. it just feels like they're cashing in or something, you know?
Yeah. I guess we'll just have to wait and see whether it's whether it'll be like the Toy Story sequels where everyone, like after the first and the second and third movie, everyone just kept saying when the sequel was announced, look, the previous ending was perfect. We don't need another movie. And then the next movie came out and everyone was like, okay, that was actually pretty decent. the fourth one, I don't think had quite as big of a reception as the second and third, but I liked it and people still on the whole liked it. So is it going to be a Toy Story or is it going to be a Fooly Cooly season two, where it really did feel like they just made a new season, but had no ideas for it.
Oh man, Fooly Cooly. It's, you know, and funny you say that because right now marks the 10-year anniversary of me seeing Fooly Cooly for the first time. It was right around this time of year, 2011. So, 10 years since Fooly Cooly. It has not changed my life. Some shows have changed my life. Fooly Cooly did not. So, it didn't have quite as big an impact on me, but I do remember watching it at a con 10 years ago.
Yeah, I've never felt the series was as good as a lot of people make it seem, but it was definitely a lot better than the second and third season.
Yeah.
That was the case. Well, look, if you want to, I'm sure I'd say see our past podcast, but was that back when in this podcast, or was it on the older podcast that we kind of replaced this one with that isn't available anymore?
No, I think this is before the podcast altogether because, oh, what? You mean the sequel series?
Yes, the sequels.
Oh, you know, I'm thinking that was our old podcast, but I can't be certain.
I think it was this podcast someplace because I seem to remember it happened around the time of Samurai Jack. I think we discussed that here. This is a confusing part of when you have a podcast and it goes defunct and then you replace it with a new one. Well, anyway, you can listen to my old thoughts. The basic quick version is it felt very much like it wasn't a case where someone had an idea and said, oh man, this is a great way to have another season. We should continue it. It just felt like a matter of someone said, you know, this is a popular show. Let's make a new season. Someone said, well, what's the idea? And I don't know. Just throw some writers at it. That's what it felt like. So we'll see which one Megalobox season 2 ends up being, or if it's in the middle, it'll probably be somewhere in the middle. Anyway, we're just babbling at this point, which is how we usually end our episodes, actually.
Yep.
So we'll be signing off this week, and we'll try to do better next time.
Like we used to say in our old podcast. So bye-nee.